This week, a special program, a full edition, going through some of the highlights of last week's God and Government Conference in Ottawa.
When a pregnant woman chooses to give life to her child, we will be able to bless them with a pair of booties. Booties made by an anonymous person for an unknown baby.
That's what the popularization of euthanasia does, is it puts suicide in a positive light. We're saying to those who struggle with depression or suicidal thoughts that rather than persevering to overcome their challenges, we're confirming their view that their life is not valuable.
Just always remember, whether we're part of an organization, Life Arm, or other fine organizations, let's never forget that the power comes from the Word of God and the Spirit of God.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
ARPA hosted its biennial God and Government Conference in Ottawa last week. Almost 100 delegates from around the country gathered to learn, to lobby MPs, and to take part in the annual March for Life on Thursday. Lots of highlights from the week. The most compelling one, visually at least, was the culmination of the Booties for Babies campaign. You'll recall ARPA put out a call last December for folks to knit or crochet baby booties, which would be displayed at the conference and then distributed to MPs and senators. The initial goal was 1,000 baby booties. Final result, 6,980 pairs. They were laid out on the front lawn of Parliament Hill in front of the center block on Wednesday. We linked to the video of that display from the Lighthouse News homepage. The unveiling also featured some speakers, including Saskatchewan MP Kelly Block.
These baby booties displayed on the lawn draw attention to the 100,000 lives lost every year in Canada.
The booties were delivered to MPs and senators, about a dozen pairs each. They've been invited to donate them to pregnancy care centers in their constituencies. Another speaker at the unveiling was Betty Banstra from Northern BC, speaking on behalf of those pregnancy care centers.
We have on display here nearly 7,000 pairs of baby booties, each set representing 15 lives that were not saved this past year. Now, do not let that number remain a cold statistic in your head, but let it sink down into your heart and let your heart break over the loss of so many children. Children who were wanted by someone. My two grandsons are able to be a joy in our family because a birth mom decided to choose life and placed her baby with our daughter and her husband. Our son and daughter-in-law are still waiting because a baby who could have worn those booties and been placed in their arms was aborted instead. I also want to say thank you for the gift of these booties that will be distributed to the pregnancy care centers. When a pregnant woman chooses to give life to her child, we will be able to bless them with a pair of booties. Booties made by an anonymous person for an unknown baby, a little gift that represents the big gift of life.
Other events from the week, education sessions. For example, ARPA policy analyst Colin Postma talking about the government's bill to legalize doctor-assisted suicide.
Liberal MP Robert Falcon-Ouellette said in his speech to the House of Commons that he almost tried to kill himself at the age of six and worried about whether he might have gone ahead with it if a loved one of his had used physician-assisted suicide. I'll just quote a bit from his House speech. My earliest memory, one of the strongest memories, is a little six-year-old boy. My mother had just lost a house. We were in tough economic times in Calgary, and she could no longer support us. She was a single mom and went off and on the road looking for work. She decided at one point she could no longer raise me or my little brother by herself, and she needed help. So she went to her ex-husband, my father. My father was a residential school survivor, an alcoholic, and a member of gangs. We knew all of those things. We knew he had a terrible temper. We were told this as young children, and we were very scared as children. We were dropped off at his place with his parents, my grandmother and grandfather, and were very upset. I remember climbing a tree in the backyard and wrapping a rope around my neck at the age of six. This is a true story. People often think it can't be true, but this is what happens in our country, like the case of the 13-year-old girl in Attawapiskat. I wrapped the rope around my neck and thought, should I jump off into this universe which is before me? And it was in that backyard that somehow I made the decision to climb down out of that tree and unwind the rope from around my neck. If in my life I had seen or I had known that my grandmother had somehow used physician-assisted dying or physician-assisted suicide, or others in my family had completed that irreparable act, then it would have made it that much more difficult for me to continue. And that's really what the popularization of euthanasia does, is it puts suicide in a positive light. We're saying to those who struggle with depression or suicidal thoughts that rather than persevering to overcome their challenges, we're confirming their view that their life is not valuable.
The conference wrapped up on Wednesday night, and on Thursday, most of the participants took in the annual March for Life on the Hill. Before that march took place, there was a Reformed prayer service at a church near Parliament Hill. Reverend David Lipsey from Burgessville, Ontario, was one of the speakers, and he focused on the history of the pro-life movement and the need to trust God for its future.
For those of us who are older, we recall the civil rights movements of the 1960s, and where similar marches took place for quite some time, until the truth became known by all of the people, or most of the people, and then change was required. And it can feel like, on a day like today, if we just have enough numbers, if we just have enough organization, if we just say the right things to the right people enough times, that we can accomplish our goal. But we're here this morning not for a pep talk. We're here to hear the word of God and to pray. And by doing so, we recognize right away why we're here, and that is that all of the means at our disposal are really just means, and that we need the Lord, we need His Word, we need the Holy Spirit that actually not only changes legislation, but that actually changes hearts. Because when you think about it, if every law of our country was rewritten today in favor of the Word of God, that doesn't change the fact that there are so many people, including doctors, who are willing to do these things. So let us always remember, whether we're part of an organization like ARPA, like the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform, or other fine organizations, let's never forget that the power, with every opportunity we have to speak, comes from the Word of God and the Spirit of God.
That March for Life attracted an estimated 20,000 participants. As usual, one of the largest marches of the year on Parliament Hill. Although again, as usual, most of the secular media ignored it. One interesting side note, though, the pro-life group Right Now released a poll from Insights West on the day of the pro-life march, a poll that shows support for the pro-life cause is growing. 53% of Canadians between the ages of 18 and 34 think there should be some restrictions placed on when a woman can have an abortion. In both the 35 to 54 and 55-plus age groups, support for restrictions was at 55%. Right Now's Alyssa Golub.
The one kind of poignant point is that millennials, those between the ages of 18 and 35, do want restrictions on abortion. So many people think that, you know, younger generations, they are left on this issue. They want unfettered abortion access. They want abortion on demand. They agree with the status quo, but the polls actually show quite the opposite.
Lots of other activity at the conference as well. We don't have time to run audio from all the various speakers and events. You can find lots of videos and other material about the conference at the ARPA webpage and on the Facebook page. One speech stood out, though. Dr. Joseph Boot from the Ezra Institute was the featured speaker at this year's dinner. His speech was over a half hour long. We certainly don't have time for all of it, but we do have an edited version. Again, you can view a video of the whole thing on the ARPA YouTube channel. Dr. Boot's speech was entitled "The Death of Man and the Crisis of Social Order." He began by detailing how society has systemically removed any reference to God from the public square. And then he moved into the details of how this has worked itself out.
The result has been the steady moral neutering of two generations, at least, and the casting adrift, in particular, of the human personality. And it has led to the absolutization of the feeling aspect of human experience, so that now, in a plastic world, it's probably most accurate to say, I feel, therefore I am. The upshot of this is that perhaps there's never been a time in the past 1,500 years where Western man and the Western world faced a greater crisis of identity, and thereby is confronted so dramatically by our own social and cultural ruin. An observant and thinking Christian can see that we are radically uprooted and dislocated as a generation and adrift in the world. But not all have actually grasped the religious character of this subterranean spring, that is, the decline of the human personality via apostasy of the heart of man from God and the consequent emergence of depersonalized, dispensable human beings. Raised in a technocratic society where the individual strives to find themselves without God. And when we actually read daily our newspapers and our broadsheets and so forth, we find people in the grip of a radical relativism that is unimaginable even 25 years ago. As abstracted and generalized people reduced to self-created group identities, we no longer know what a human being is. This condition has advanced to such a degree that we are essentially unsure, as a society, if there are any human norms that transcend radical autonomous desire and subjectivist self-identification. We no longer have a confidence in the intrinsic value of the human person made in the image of God, whether pre-born, newborn, disabled, aging, sick, or despairing. Indeed, we are so fundamentally uprooted that we are no longer assured of the scientific chromosomal reality of the binary gender distinctions of male and female, of normative human sexuality, or of the oldest institution known to the human race, marriage and the family. Our profound confusion is such today that some people are not even sure they occupy the right age group or gender, whether they were born into the right people group or even gestated by the right species, since they feel like something else. And this is what groups like ARPA are up against. In a world of flux, of irrational fluidity to all things, where the possibility of normative differentiation between truth and falsehood, right and wrong, reality and unreality has collapsed, culture hasn't just reached in our time a bump in the road, but has been sucked into a kind of vortex of democratic insanity. If we have adequately learned anything by now in our historical experience, it should have been that our rejection of God and the image of God in man leads to the endless defacing and destruction of that image. We can actually, despite the sobriety of this presentation, be confident of victory in the long run, because an apostate culture of death has no future. What we are doing in our culture today has no future. It is suicidal. And the question will simply be, who is going to remain faithful to rebuild in the time of God's grace? We must continue to pray for those in authority, to serve the cause of Christ, which encompasses the good of our fellow men, to the best of our ability, to prophetically witness against idolatry in its varied forms and serve the cause of righteousness and justice wherever we are able to do so. We will not always be loved for this stand. In fact, the reality is that we may be hated by some. But this is the victory that overcomes the world, the Apostle John says, even our faith. With an apostate heart for almost a century, our culture has been progressively pursuing the death of man, that is, as God's image bearer. And so in that respect, we are surrounded by dead men, dead in trespasses and sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I assure you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. Jesus Christ is life, and that is our confidence.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.